Welcome to our 25th Sunday of the Pentecost Worship Podcast of Holy Cross Lutheran Church of Austin and Our Savior's Lutheran Church of Brownsville, Minnesota, November 19th, 2023. This is Pastor Olano. We began our service in the name of our God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truths and teach us, for your God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. Let us confess our sins. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquities and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new right and a spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen. Since we confessed our sins, now hear the absolution. Our Heavenly Father has had mercy on us, and through Jesus Christ has set us free from sin, death, and the devil's power. Through the faith installed in us by the Holy Spirit, we know, and I declare as an ordained servant of Christ, that you are forgiven in the name of our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sing praise to God, the highest good, the Author of creation, the God of love who understood our need for His salvation. With healing balm our souls He fills, and every faithless murmur stills. To God
our first reading for this Sunday is taken from the book of Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 7 through 16. Our epistle reading is taken from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. And our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-loving God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Dispel from us the work of the darkness and grant us to live in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, that our faith may never be found wanting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God and now forever. Amen.
Blessed day to you. This is a Bible study for last Sunday's epistle lesson, the 24th Sunday after Pentecost. We begin with prayer. O God, you have revealed yourself and your will for us through your word. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for bringing that word to prominence in our lives as we study your word and as we gather at worship. May your word strengthen our faith and increase our love for you and for our neighbor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The lessons on the previous Sundays, Reformation Sunday and All Saints Sunday, interrupted our series of readings from the letters of St. Paul. We had begun his first letter to the Thessalonians about 2 weeks ago, and this reading continues in the readings in Thessalonians. We're going to be reading in chapter 4. But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Thus far the reading. You may remember that when we introduced Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, when we did that a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned the change from Paul's typical opening and greeting in his letters. Usually he begins with a short greeting that includes a thanksgiving to God about the people who are receiving the letter, and then he goes on to the theme of his letter. But in the case of this letter, the First Thessalonians, the thanksgiving for them extended for the first three chapters before our text today from chapter 4. After thanking God for the way the Thessalonians lived their faith, love, and hope, that was in chapter 1, verse 3, Paul thanks God for moving the Thessalonians to accept the message Paul spoke as a message from God, not just from man. That was in chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. And finally, Paul thanks God for the joy the Thessalonians bring him, and that's chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Now, in the last two chapters, chapters 4 and 5, Paul has some admonitions for the Thessalonians. So here we are with our text from the latter part of chapter 4. Paul returns to the three characteristics of the Christian mentioned in chapter 1, faith, love, and hope. In the chapter before us, chapter 4, Paul first encourages the Thessalonians to continue in the love they have demonstrated, and then he expands on that topic of love. Next, Paul deals with issues we all face living with hope, that is, in times especially of death or grief. Not many of Paul's letters offer more nourishment for hope than the hope God's people have in Christ. Our hope is based on Christ's death and his resurrection, and he spends quite a bit of time there here talking about nourishing that hope. Here, as everywhere in the New Testament, the resurrection of Jesus is the sole and whole basis for the hope of eternal life. His resurrection is the resurrection of the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. And so our resurrection will happen when our Lord returns, who has the power over death to raise us from the dead. For all the dramatic splendor which marks Paul's portrayal of the Lord's return, the Christian hope here remains, as always in the New Testament, personal, a hope for full communion with our Lord. And that is why Paul can comfort the Thessalonians who have concerns about death, especially the death of loved ones. The Thessalonians had evidently been concerned that those among them who died would miss their place in the great events when the Lord comes. And so Paul assures them this will not be the case. But Paul doesn't just comfort them who he's writing to, but he also says, comfort one another. Thus, by being spoken from man to man or woman to woman, the word of God is proclaimed and it continues to work in believers. So Paul's writing, he's saying, is not just for the people who are reading it, but when they receive the comfort of God, they should be sharing that comfort with others. Finally, Paul says that the real comfort of our hope is in Christ is seen in this phrase about dying in faith. We will be with the Lord. This is the chief hope of the believer. In this hope, we are to encourage each other. So the primary purpose of verses 13 to 18 is not to give a chronology of future events. What's going to happen on Judgment Day? What's going to happen when the dead are raised, etc.? But to urge mutual encouragement, as is shown here, and in verse 13, where he says, we should encourage one another with the hope that we have, because our hope isn't just a simplistic wish. When Timothy returned from Thessalonica to Paul, while Paul was at Corinth, with the good news that the Thessalonians' faith, love, and fidelity to Paul were still in action, it meant for Paul the release from a long and agonizing tension. He was concerned about them, how they were getting along since he has left. He threw himself with new vigor into his work then at Corinth, where he was, and he wrote this letter from Corinth, which we call 1 Thessalonians. This letter is Paul's response to Timothy's report, and that's why there's a long thanksgiving for the good news which Timothy had brought, a thanksgiving which looks back over the whole history of the Thessalonian church since its founding, and is at the same time a vindication of the purity and sanctity of his motives as their apostle and pastor, because some were questioning that, his motives. The thanksgiving is followed then by a series of admonitions, because Timothy said, well, maybe there's a couple of things that you need to encourage them, Paul. Paul is doing by letter what he could not do face to face, because he's now in Corinth. And so he is supplying what is lacking in their faith. And the first encouragement is this one concerning hope. Hope that we have in Jesus Christ because he is resurrected from the dead. We pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, send us your Holy Spirit that we may continue in our hope in Christ, the same hope that the Thessalonians had. Also keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. Defend us against all enemies of your word, and bestow upon your church your saving peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us close our service for this morning with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord looks upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
With joy and peace.